The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Good morning. It's Monday, October the 13th. I can't say much more than that. It's a Monday. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Give us a call. We've got a lot of exciting things happening today. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Linda's on assignment this morning. Bad Bob, I know that we're going to have a break in the weather this week.
Matter of fact, it is supposed to cool off this week. Let's go ahead and launch into that. Abundant sunshine today, a high of 87. Cloudy this evening, a little bit cloudy, and a low of about 59. And then that is increasing, and a good possibility of rain as we roll into Tuesday. Could see up to a quarter of an inch. Right now in Reading, we have about 65 degrees. And the report, as always, brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
That's right. Locally owned, locally operated with senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call, 365-3793. Oh, you know what? You know the best part about the weekend, Bad Bob, is I get to sleep in. Uh-huh. I got to sleep in on Sunday because, and I'll go through everything that happened this weekend, but it was big. But my sleep number bed is absolutely the best deal we've ever made. And Linda also. My sleep number setting's 40, but it could be 45. It could be 100. It could be 35. It could be 20. Except 20 is really too soft. I think 20 is for people that have just ache everywhere. And they just need something. So it's just like a soft there. And now with the new Sleep IQ technology that they offer is if you're just kind of like restless and you don't know how sometimes you wake up in the morning and you kind of feel, oh, you know, was I busy last night?
Yeah.
You got the new Sleep IQ technology that senses that. It reads it off the bed itself because of the sensors in it. And then it sends you a message via an app that says, you know, maybe if you switch to this sleep number setting, they're the only ones in America that has anything like that. In fact, the sleep number beds were rated number one in the country by Consumer Reports. So you do not give that, you know, you don't give that mark out easily. Made in America, guaranteed, you can't say much more than that. However, you can say head on down to the Target Shopping Center because right now and through today, you can save $400. Columbus Day sale, save $400 on the most popular sleep number bed, the lowest price ever. Head on down and see Brian and Janice down there. They will let you on a bed there and get your right, get the right settings, your sleep number settings. And I promise you, you have never felt anything like this before. How much is a good night's sleep worth? Find out. Sleep number. Okay. They made an arrest in the Bowles fire up there in Weed. A guy by the name of Ronald Marshall, young-looking guy. And there's people saying, we probably just want to walk the streets right now. Come on back downtown because there's going to be people are still angry. And I don't blame them. I mean, arson, they've arrested him, you know, for arson and destroying farmland or destroying just regular, you know,
destruction of private property,
arson, and just the whole gamut of things. At least they found somebody. They did it because they knew it had been started by somebody, so they found the guy. This weekend, Make-A-Wish Friday night was just outstanding. They had a fashion show. They had probably 8,000 silent auction items as I watched Billy and Patrick work their way through that. Now, that's hilarious. Then they had also a regular auction going. Mark LaSalle's. Who has done this for so many years, is that was his last auction. He has handed that off.
Really? I love to hear Mark do an auction.
He is great, but he said, you know what, with all the work that he and his crew do during the weeks, and then they get all the weekends taken out by this, and I understand. I mean, we're in that same kind of business. Then the Cowboy Up Think Pink at the Rodeo Grounds was big also on Saturday night. So, and then the Making Strides in the morning. Linda was down there emceeing the Making Strides against breast cancer down at the Sundial Bridge. We were down there. So Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night. So it made Sunday kind of.
Did you make any time for the motorcycle?
No. I mean, I drove by. But that was about it. We were just busy all
day. I managed to walk through the event. Yeah,
you know great. What? It's a great event. You know, I went down. You know, I saw the things being set up. We had Connie on and all that. It's a super event. And I wish that we could grow it. I wish we could grow it to like 20,000 people coming here for this.
I was fascinated by the level of police presence. In fact, members of a known organization.
No motorcycle gang. Of course, they call it a club.
But yeah.
Other people call it.
They were strolling through the venue, and all of a sudden, as if by magic, six PD cars appeared around the periphery.
Were they angels, or were they?
They were another club.
But the green one, who is that? Mongols. That's not the Mongols.
It's the Vagos.
The Vagos, that's right. With that distinctive color they have, kind of very much like your headphones. Are you a Vago?
Are you a
Vagos in training? What?
Now, this is you do this to me.
It's the same color.
All right. I don't think it's quite this fluorescent, eye-popping green.
Okay, put your shoes on here, my friends. Ebola. The guy that had it, that came back from Africa, died. I think that's pretty common knowledge. The latest is that one of the nurses taking care of him has the disease, has tested positive. Now, this is the part that's a little bothersome to me and to Bob here, is that this woman, because of the protocols they have, had to have been covered in all the types of protective gear to take care of this man, as they do, as they've got Marines and everybody else over there right now, and she still got it. The question is, how did she catch this if it's only by sweat or bodily fluids or these kind of things? How did she catch this disease? That's really, I mean, how would she have gotten this?
Well, one of the things that they were talking about on the BBC is that you wear these goggles. Okay, we're talking about an area, a time of year when it's pretty darn humid. You sweat in this thing like a pig because it's impermeable plastic. And if your goggles fog up, what's your instinct? You reach up and adjust them. You're exposed for that moment.
Unless they're wearing helmets.
Well, full-on spacesuit-type rigs are even more cumbersome. And then getting the thing off, even if you're following the protocols, all it takes is a touch and a wipe, and then,
well, then
look how easy it is to catch a cold.
But this is one of the things that it should get everybody a little excited about this. Then if they are practicing the protocols and they make one little error on this thing, which unless she was just blatantly ignoring the protocols and the safety conditions there, then that's a little scary there that, you know, they're trying their best and they still get it. And then, it'll be interesting to see how she got it and the other people didn't. Or did they?
Well, fortunately, supposedly, and, you know, it's her story now. Now, I understand that the protocols that they're doing in Liberia, you have a person, Doctors Without Frontiers, you have a person working, and then you have a person whose only job is to watch the person working from several feet away. They never touch.
Yeah.
And so you have a witness to all that takes place, which is very labor-intensive. But still, they've lost over 100 healthcare workers in Liberia from this thing.
Amazing. Well, hey, the Record Searchlight editorial this morning blames George Bush for the economic woes of today. And, you know, the thing is, they said, well, you know what, they've got to understand is Obama really was handed a mess. Okay, he was handed a mess. But let's look it back even further. When Hoover, who presided over the Depression, handed it off to Roosevelt in his sixth year of two terms, of an eight-year term, they still were not blaming Hoover for this stuff. In fact, Roosevelt, through his work and his ability to build fences and to build consensus, was actually fixing everything. And yet here we are still blaming Bush for the infamous Record Searchlight, still blaming, but the feds helped in this. Well, what's gone on here is that Obama hasn't changed anything. They threw all this billions of dollars away, and they were talking about the deficit, which actually went down to $365 billion, which is better than the $600 billion they thought it was going to be. But unless it changes dramatically, we're going to have a deficit that takes the whole GDP the whole gross domestic product, or GNP, the gross national product, it'll be more than that. And yet they're still blaming Bush on this. How, you know, what is it about a liberal outlook that says that Obama just isn't doing his job and could have done this a lot better, much like the people that have worked with him, like Panetta and Clinton and others who are writing books, and Gates are writing books that said he has missed. He has missed his chances. He has not taken his chances to make things right. And then now we're back in the Middle East. How can you ignore these things and still blame it on a guy from 6 years ago that you could have done a number of things to get the economy back into a brace again? But yet we have the same things going on. We still have banks too big to fail. We have health care that the only thing that's changed is who pays. No big change, as you heard on Friday from the Code Black guys, that, you know, the whole thing is down, is they're not getting paid. They, young doctors are not coming into the, becoming general practice because they don't get any money, and the government's hammering them all the time. Nothing's changed. So how can the Record Searchlight actually say that? Actually, you know, and so when they say things like this within their editorials, then when they endorse three candidates, I have to think, where are they coming from? And they did endorse three candidates. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and the Bot, KCNR.
Sometimes I get a good feeling. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it has been an honor for me to serve on the Reading City Council these last 8 years. The future of Reading is bright. We still have many serious issues facing us as we move forward. Issues like pension reform, roads, water, and above all, the rising crime rate in the city of Reading. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
Trust, follow through, integrity. These are words voters are using to describe Assemblyman Brian Daly.
We need help in the state of California, and Brian Daly is the one to do it.
Our voice counts with Brian. Our votes count with Brian. He will represent us.
Because of Brian's leadership in the state assembly, he's received a 100% rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Brian helped pass legislation to support rural schools, and he worked hard to pass a bill that reduces wildfire hazard while putting people back to work in our forests. That's called leadership.
He will do what he says he's going to do.
He's a guy that you can trust every day. He's going to work hard. He's going to work relentlessly hard.
The choice is clear. Send a farmer, a leader with North State common sense values, back to Sacramento. Re-elect Brian Daly to the California Assembly.
I will vote for Brian Daly.
I'm voting for Brian Daly for Assembly.
Paid for by Daly for Assembly 2014.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest-rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Crazy.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning, 7:20 on the 13th of October, Columbus Day, where I understand that up in Seattle they had one of the school boards or one of the, I'm not sure what they said. They said they've changed it from Columbus Day to Indigenous People Day. I love it.
Correctness.
Correctness. Political correctness. Oh, I got into that Friday. You missed it, Bad Bob. I got it handed to me. My face was ripped off. Holes were bitten into my chest because I was talking about having the first and maybe only real man's expo here in Shasta County. The girls did not like that. Okay, this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm sorry, not this one. On the 23rd, 24th, and 25th will be the North Valley Stand Down 2014 for all homeless veterans. A hand up, not a handout. We'll talk a lot more about that here in the future. Have people on from there. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across from Sierra Gibbs. State jewelry, watches, diamond rings, anything you can possibly imagine is at Four Winds Jewelry at really, really great prices. This is Linda's place to shop for jewelry there. They've got the only trained watch repairman in all of Reading, right there at Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, or give them a call, 222-2750. I'm here with Tom Carotto and Andrew Meredith. They both are instrumental in starting the group called Revolt, which is the union backed, but other people are in it now. Vote no on Turtle Bay.
Vote no on Measure B.
Okay. All right. I can see. No.
Big difference there.
There is. Okay. There. And you have tried. And you have tried to draw the. You have drawn the line there. Yeah. But Measure B is the selling the land to the McConnell Foundation, who they are. Then the land will be used, as Turtle Bay says, is to build a hotel and then other objects down there that have to do with the a science and a museum and science park down there, if you will.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Now, what is Revolt? What does Revolt stand for?
Revolt stands for Residents Entitled to Vote on Land Transaction. And I want to just clarify real quick. I've had several people say to me when they find out that I'm against Measure B, they say, "Oh, you're against Turtle Bay." And I always clarify, this is not a vote on Turtle Bay. This is a vote on a land sale. And I have to bring them right back to the fact that it is a vote on a land sale, not on Turtle Bay.
Okay. And then your background, Tom, is?
I've been a construction plumber since I got out of high school. Had my own business in this town for about 15 years. And now I'm working for the Plumbers Union and as a local business rep and recruiter.
All right. And Andrew?
Let me clarify something for you real quickly,
okay.
Carl. I'm here actually as the president of the Northeastern California Building and Construction Trades Council. Tom Carotto is actually the brains behind the Revolt campaign. He's been doing that on behalf of the building trades. I think he's done an amazing job, especially given the limited amount of resources that he's been dealing with in stark contrast with the proponents of the ballot measure. So I just wanted to clarify that. As for my background, I'm a union electrician. I went through an apprenticeship program that I was fortunate enough to get accepted into. I've been working in the business office of the Electrical Workers Union since about 2008. I work up here in the Reading area, running our office up here. We've got some great contractors here that do work on all aspects of electrical construction. So,
okay, when I turn on my switch back here in the office, if I turn it all the way up, it doesn't turn the lights off. But if I turn it only halfway, the lights go off. What do you think that is?
Well, I think it's a combination of two things, Carl. Number one, probably was not a union electrician that put it in to begin with. Number two, and the more likely culprit is your toggle switch needs to be replaced.
Okay.
They do wear out over time.
Just checking to make sure you still had it together there. And obviously you do because you got the union and the toggle switch all in one time.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, Tom, this I don't think it's a secret that a lot of this is about prevailing wage. Is this correct? Now, and let me just give a little background. Is Andrew, you were on the show one day and you said, look, the only way that they're not going to pay prevailing wage is if they buy the property.
That's right.
You said that. And
I have said that.
You said it sitting right where you're sitting now a couple years ago. So then they went out and to buy the land. In case somebody doesn't know this, I don't know how they couldn't, but if somebody doesn't know this, they brought in three appraisers. The appraisals were brought in at three very different prices. The first two were very, very different how much it was worth, how much the land was worth. They brought a third one in. The most they said it, the land was worth with the lease was $450,000, something like that, somewhere around in there. At that point, the McConnell Foundation offered $650,000, something like that, to buy the land. Three members of the city council voted to let that go through. You stood up revolt, Tom, and said, that's not a fair price. They're doing this to, and the revolt and the supporters revolt said, they're doing this so they don't have to pay prevailing wage. They're doing, and it's being sold at a price much less than it's worth. Am I kind of like grabbed it all right there?
Yes, but there are two very important things to understand about the appraisal, Carl. Number one, the instructions given to the appraisers to determine that value were written by the buyers. Very important to understand that. The second thing is, if you go
was
to
was it by the buyers or was it by the city?
It was by the buyers, and we have documentation on readingrevolt.com that shows that documentation that they wrote the original draft instructions for this.
Well, whose name is on it, though?
Mike Ashby wrote an email to the city employee. I don't recall which one. And in that email, it says, attached is the draft instructions for the appraiser. Please review for your acceptance. And I'm just paraphrasing at this point.
But then the city then on their own accepted that. Is that right?
That is correct.
As opposed to taking that and saying, like we all do, and plagiarize and change things around the way we want it. I mean, if you get a draft. So is it exactly the same draft?
It's very, very similar, very, very close. And there aren't enough things in there to really warrant the city being able to say, hey, this is in our best interest, these appraisal instructions. We just don't believe that they're...
Did the city say that?
No, they did not say that. But because of the lack of changes between the two, it's clearly evident. And then you also have to bear in mind that if it was approved by the city council, which it was stated that those appraisal instructions were discussed in an open forum, and I have not been able to find that. The city council meeting where they were supposedly discussed, the only issue that was discussed was whether or not the lease should be taken into account during the appraisal. That's the only public discourse that I found.
And they decided to do that.
Yes, and here's the
other... Because if they had taken that out, that would have changed everything.
Well, and here's the important thing to understand about that. If you go to the May 7th City Council meeting and watch the video, at about the 2-hour and 55-minute mark, the city attorney makes the statement that if we are going to consider the lease as part of that appraisal, that the city needs assurances that that lease is going to stay in place for the entire time of the lease. And one of the city council members who voted for this said, can that be done through a deed restriction? And the city attorney said, yes, that would be done through a deed restriction. Unfortunately, I have not found that deed restriction anywhere. And in fact, as I understand it, the day they voted to approve this sale, they voted right before that to eliminate all deed restrictions that were in place at that time. So they made the statement, the city attorney did, that if this lease is going to be part of this appraisal, the city needs those assurances, and the city does not have those assurances. And he also said that the city must be in a position of being able to approve any changes to that lease in the future. None of that is in there. And again, he said...
But isn't that under the original lease?
It's...
Under the original sales that the city has the right to say what gets built there and what doesn't.
Well, it's not just what gets built, but it's changing the lease in any way, shape, or form. And right now the city does have to approve it. But if the land sale goes through, that lease ownership then transfers to McConnell, and the city loses any and all control over that whatsoever. And the city was saying that they should retain that.
But Turtle Bay still retains control over what can be built down there.
It will still be based upon two people approving what changes with that lease. And it will then become between McConnell and Turtle Bay, and we believe that their relationship is way too close.
And so this whole thing is based on trust.
A lot of it's based on trust.
Everything I hear when I talk to people, it's all based on, oh, we don't trust City Hall is well, one thing. And the other one is we don't trust the leadership at Turtle Bay.
Well, but see, Carl, this is a real estate transaction. And in real estate transactions, everything is written down. Everything is a contract. You don't not write a contract because you trust somebody.
But you agree that the only way it can be changed is through Turtle Bay and the McConnell Foundation have to agree to change it. Which means, because I've sat here with a city councilman and said, if it wasn't so-and-so there, if I was sitting there, would you change your vote? And he goes, yeah, because it's a trust thing. So if you trust Turtle Bay to do the right thing, then that won't that you won't see anything wrong. I mean, the lease won't go away and they can't build anything there, right? I mean, to change the lease, both of them have to agree, if I understand what you said.
That's correct.
Turtle Bay and McConnell Foundation. Where, so the whole thing comes down to the fact is you believe is that the relationship is so close that if McConnell Foundation says change it, Turtle Bay will.
Well, you've got two different parcels. I'll just give you an example. You have two different parcels, a five-acre parcel they're building this hotel on, another nine-acre parcel that we don't know what they're doing yet. And McConnell could say, Turtle Bay, we want to finance your hotel even more or whatever, and so we need to eliminate the lease on the 9 acres so that we can help you on the 5 acres. Well, Turtle Bay is in a position where they're so dependent on McConnell. How are they going to say no?
Well, let's talk about that when we get back.
Okay.
Hey, I'm here with Tom Corrado, who that formed up the Revolt Group and is fighting against the sale of the land to the McConnell Foundation. They're not against Turtle Bay. They're against this land sale. And Andrew Meredith, who is here as a confidant, and the fact that I asked him to come aboard today, too. We'll be right back after these messages.
My name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great two-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
My name is Mimi Mosley. Growing up, I learned I was responsible for the choices I made. Since moving to Reading, I've seen how my choices can truly make a difference as a small business owner and resident. I'm choosing to vote across party lines to make this important change to our city council. This change will be historic as it betters Reading. I believe Francie Sullivan loves Reading dearly and feels a calling to make the tough changes needed. Francie is always on duty as she encourages small business owners, listens to the concerns of her city, and pushes for a safe Reading. Francie's heart is to launch new jobs as well as bring safety back to our homes. Francie has faithfully managed Reading's resources and commits to continue this hard work. November 4th, the choice is yours, and you are responsible for that choice. I'm choosing to vote for two new city council members to help Francie achieve these goals as we live and work in this great city. My name is Mimi Mosley, and I choose Francie.
I'm Francie Sullivan. I want to make Reading the best place to live, work, and raise a family. Paid for by the committee to elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:34 in the morning. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR. 1460.com. 65 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Head on down for great coffee. And it's in the presence they have down there in their coffee, exotic coffee beans that they sell by the pound are great for Christmas presents. And walk next door and find us walk-in humidor in the North State and maybe all of California. And you walk in there and you find those cigars for your favorite cigar patron and everything else at Tobacco and Brew. And on top of all that, veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley do a great job down there supporting this community. My guests are Tom Corrado, who started up the Revolt campaign against the sale of land to the McConnell Foundation, and Andrew Meredith, who is heads up the building trades union here. If you've got a question for Andrew or Tom, 605-4567, 605-4567. Okay, let's go on back to when we're talking about the sale of the land. It's based on – the whole thing started because of prevailing wage, and now we've gotten into a campaign where would you say that is the city divided on this? Has this been something that's divided our populace here?
Well, clearly there's a lot of division here in this town over this issue. It's very, very clear. If you go on Reading.com, you can see the comments on the newspaper articles. You talk to different people around town, and it's clearly divisive.
I think another proof of that is I think our city council race here in the city of Reading. You know, this is a major issue in the city council race. This is an issue that the populace is looking at where the candidates stand and making a determination about who they want to see sitting up there. On the city council come December, based specifically on this issue. So,
well, you know what? I would say that might be true. No, I think that is true because the ones that are against it will get those votes, and the ones for it will get votes. Record Searchlight just came out and endorsed three people. I think all three people endorsed the sale of the land to the McConnell Foundation.
And they made that very clear.
I think they did. But just the endorsement of the Record Searchlight doesn't, you know, that could hurt some people too. When the election goes all the way to November 6th, and if Yes on B passes, it's already been said is that a lawsuit will happen.
Well, you know, I'll clarify that from the building trade standpoint, Carl. There's already a lawsuit sitting in Shasta Superior Court that was filed by Turtle Bay and the McConnell Foundation. It was essentially a legal proceeding called a writ of mandate to get out of the enforcement of the DIR decision that the hotel was subject to prevailing wages if it was built. That court proceeding was put on hold pending the outcome of this election and the land transaction. Should Measure A pass, I think what will likely happen is that case will be withdrawn. And, you know, I'm confident that the building trades...
If Measure B passes.
If Measure B passes, I think it's confident. I think it's safe to say that the building trades will file another coverage determination request with the Department of Industrial Relations. We're confident that we'll win. We're confident that the Department of Industrial Relations will enforce prevailing wages on the construction of the hotel, regardless of whether that land transaction goes through or not.
So this isn't a court trial. This is something that goes through the Department of Industrial Relations. Is that it?
Well, if Measure
aren't they appointed by Governor Brown?
If Measure B passes, then it would be determined initially in that manner. If Measure B fails, I'm sure that. You know, Turtle Bay and the McConnell Foundation will follow through with that court proceeding that they have in Shasta Superior Court, and it will be handled in a court of law.
But if you all, what you all will do is sue, and it will be taken through the Industrial Relations Court, right?
That's correct. The Department of Industrial Relations.
Department of Industrial Relations, which is appointed members by Governor Brown.
Right.
They are not judges.
Just like how, you know, a police officer could write you a traffic ticket. He's an appointed representative to enforce the law. That's what the Department of Industrial Relations does. There's laws that are created by the California legislature, the appointed representatives that are elected to serve there. They create these laws, and the Department of Industrial Relations enforces them.
Well, didn't the first time this went up in front of the Department of Industrial Relations, they sided with the sale of the land?
Well, they sided with it not being a prevailing wage project.
Right.
And, you know, I think the basis that they used for that decision was that they didn't think that the, you know, the hospitality parcel being considered part of the lease added any significant value. When we did the appeal, we had our own appraisal done that we think proved without a question of a doubt that value was added when the lease was amended and, you know, Turtle Bay was given the option of doing a hospitality parcel within that leasehold interest. And the Department of Industrial Relations looked at that, sided with us, agreed that value was added to the lease, that no compensation was given back to the city for, and that constituted the enforcement of prevailing wages.
Okay. Do you see – some people bring up the fact that it doesn't say in the sale of the property that the McConnell Foundation has to build a hotel there.
There is a no obligation to build clause in that sale agreement.
But they're not going to build a hotel. It was Turtle Bay building a hotel. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So McConnell Foundation shouldn't be anything in that clause saying they're going to build a hotel, right?
Well, it says that there's no obligation to build a hotel or any other building to support Turtle Bay. And if they truly weren't any part of the building of that, why would that even need to be in the lease?
But the part is that the Turtle Bay was going to build the hotel. Mm-hmm. It had McConnell Foundation was never in my – I mean, and I'm ignorant in a lot of things, but they were never going to build it. It was always going to be Turtle Bay who got the loan, and part of the loan was from two different organizations, McConnell being one of them and one being a bank. So there's nothing in there that – because McConnell Foundation never said they were going to build a hotel down there.
Well, I think the – you might be right on your point, Carl, but I don't think that that's
I'm right on that point. I'm not saying that the reason behind it, but I am right about that. McConnell's
I don't think
not
that's
building
why
a hotel.
I don't think that's why that it, you know, that provision was not put in the sale agreement. I think it's more a strategy that they're trying to use, knowing that this will be litigated through the Department of Industrial Relations. Randall Hempling, I can't remember in what form he did this, but he pretty much admitted as such that, you know, it was part of a strategy to position themselves to get out of prevailing wage enforcement should the land sale go through.
I think that's always been a part of it, though. But I mean, I don't think that's been a surprise either, is that again, they never wanted to pay prevailing wage.
Yeah, we're confident that we're going to win if it goes to court. We're confident that we'll win if it goes to the Department of Industrial Relations. So,
and the bottom line
on either one of them, whether it goes
either one,
see, frankly,
confident.
That going to the Department of Industrial Relations is kind of like, just my opinion is, it'd be like if it was seen and it went through the museum. The director, you know, the Department of Museums, you know, that kind of thing. Everybody's got kind of like somebody's got a dog in the fight there if it goes through, you know, Department of Industrial Relations. Now, and where a civil court, to me, it'd be like more wide open that both sides would get, to me, a fairer look at.
Well, it's funny that you say that because, you know, Turtle Bay and the city of Reading, they were the ones that originally took it to the Department of Industrial Relations, Carl. Mm. When the lease was amended, they went to the Department of Industrial Relations to get a decision. So
yeah, you know, you're right on that. So, okay, Tom, you're getting ready to say something.
I was going to say the bottom line, Carl, is technically you're right on that point. But the bottom line is the whole purpose of this land sale is to build that hotel. And for that not to be guaranteed in some way, shape, or form just makes the whole thing, why are we doing this? And it has a lot of people very concerned about McConnell being able to secure this land with no hotel being built. Whether it be McConnell builds it, Turtle Bay, or whatever, that's their concern.
But they're a concern, though, that has nothing to do with the reality of the deal was that we'll move on from this, but is I understand what you're saying, is that, oh, well, McConnell, you know, there's nothing in there that says about it, but they weren't supposed to. If they were supposed to build it and it wasn't in there, I'd be screaming at the top of my lungs. But that was the difference. Was it supposed to be? And this is I just learned from just listening to people going back and forth. Anyway, okay. Now as we move on from there, here's an important question: do you want Turtle Bay to go away?
No.
Okay.
No.
I think you
very few people that are on our side want Turtle Bay to go away.
And I think we've all been very open and honest about this over the past 4 years while this all has been debated. You know, we see the benefits of Turtle Bay in this community. I've got up on the floor at city council meetings and talked about bringing my own children there for field trips with our school. You know, there's this perception that, you know, from the building trade side, we have a lot of animosity towards the leadership over there. We don't. You know, Mike Warren, love him or hate him, you know, he's not a bad guy. You know, we have great conversations, and, you know, the leadership of the McConnell Foundation, same way. So,
yeah, we're going to take a break here. I'm here with Tom Corrado, who started up the Revolt campaign, and Andrew Meredith, who is the heads up the Builders Union here in town. We're talking about Measure B. Whether it's a good news, whether it's a good idea or not, what can happen, what the bottom line is. And Bill, we're going to get to you as soon as we get back from this commercial. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it has been an honor for me to serve on the Reading City Council these last 8 years. The future of Reading is bright. We still have many serious issues facing us as we move forward. Issues like pension reform, roads, water, and above all, the rising crime rate in the city of Reading. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Drought, excessive regulations, Southern California trying to grab our water. We need strong leaders in office willing to take a stand. We need Doug LaMalfa. A fourth-generation family farmer, Doug LaMalfa is a common-sense conservative who represents our local values. Doug LaMalfa knows what's important, and he won't back down to the government regulators and big spenders in Washington. Doug is fighting for more water storage and less Washington red tape. He's working to stop wasteful spending, like the L.A. to San Francisco bullet train, and slash the debt that threatens future generations. And Doug is endorsed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Deliver a strong message by sending the right person to Congress. Doug LaMalfa.
This is Doug LaMalfa. I'm fighting for more water storage, less debt, and to protect our way of life. I approve this message, and I'd be honored to represent you in Washington, D.C.
Paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. My guest today, Tom Corrado, who heads up the Revolt group that is against the sale of land to the McConnell Foundation. He wants you to vote no on Measure B. And Andrew Meredith, who heads up the Builders and Constructions Trades Council here in town. Let's go to the phones. Bill?
Yes, I've got a question. Is there contractors in town that they're going to be using to build this hotel, or are they going to go out of town and bring in some other contractors and try and eliminate all the people working in town here?
That's a good question
about the whole situation here.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. Andrew?
You know, the way I would answer that is they bid this project out the last time, I believe, about 3 years ago. They've said that they're committed to, you know, going with the contractors that were the low bidders when they bid that out the last time. I think Arch Pew has acknowledged that the project is going to have to be rebid based on the fact that it's been so long.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully they follow through with the commitment that they made to those contractors, and they're going to keep them on the job. But, yeah. I couldn't tell you how many of them were local. I think the majority of them were. So.
Okay. Y'all got a number of endorsements, and let's talk about that.
Yeah, we do. We sent out a press release a few weeks back announcing the endorsements from the Northeastern California Building and Construction Trades Council. When we were on your show before, Carl, we talked about how our organization is bipartisan, and that we look at issues. We don't look at political party. In the congressional race up here in the North State, we ended up going with Doug LaMalfa for Congress. We did that based on, you know, his perceived position when it comes to raising Shasta Dam and some other big capital projects to create new water storage in California, projects that will employ thousands of construction workers on good paying jobs up here in the North State. While he hasn't, you know, come right out and said, I'm going to vote in favor of raising Shasta Dam, this 18.5 feet that they want to do, or saying 100% that he's behind the site's reservoir project, I think he's been clear that, you know, he's been laying out the benefits while his opponent in the race has been laying out excuses as to why neither one of those projects should be built.
I think he's pretty much behind that Sykes Reservoir.
Yeah.
And he is making his mind up about the raising of the dam, though. If we need to do that, it's the only way you're going to be able to capture more water. You're not going to be able to dig it out from below.
So. That's right. Yeah, and, you know, Doug, we don't agree with every position that he's taken while he's been in Congress, but anyone that's fighting to bring good-paying jobs to the North State, I think, deserves our attention.
Okay.
So,
what other endorsements have you got?
In the Assembly race, we went with Brian Dolly representing this district up here. We think Brian's done a great job down in Sacramento, crossing party lines at times and working to get things done. And quite frankly, I couldn't even tell you the name of the guy that's running against him, Carl.
I frankly don't know either, because we tried to find him. I think we found him one time and sent him an email. Tried to call him and say, hey, you want to be on the show? And we never heard anything. So,
but regardless, we think Brian's done a fantastic job down in Sacramento.
I think he has too, and where he has reached out.
For the city council race, which was probably our most debated issue within the Building Trades Council, we endorsed.
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that one.
We ended up endorsing Patrick Jones was one of them, and the other one was
Michael Quinn,
Mr. Michael Quinn, who you know pretty well. Carl works right here in this building.
He does. Yep.
So for Patrick, you know, love him or hate him, I think what you have to acknowledge is Patrick does research. You know, when the Charter City push was going on here in the city of Reading, something we were strongly opposed to, and Patrick was a big proponent of. Patrick was taking the time to come to the public hearings of the Charter City Exploratory Committee, you know, and I think that is just a perfect reflection of what he's done on the city council. He does the homework, whether you like his decisions or not, he puts in the time. We think that
you pretty much know how Patrick's going to vote.
You do, you know,
and that's refreshing in a lot of ways.
And on the Mike Quinn endorsement, we thought it was really important to focus on somebody that has accounting experience getting up on that city council in the next term. There's a lot of things with the pensions, the unfunded liability, you know, even this Turtle Bay transaction. You know, these are things where having someone that has the accounting background sitting up there to actually provide insight from a non-objective an objective standpoint, rather than just getting the audits that are contracted through the city, you know, having somebody that's qualified to look at the numbers and nitpick things, I think is going to benefit the taxpayers as a whole.
Okay. I understand why you your endorsements, and some of your endorsements were surprises. I think, like I said, I wish I could have been in there during this one. I mean, was there, like, blow struck?
No. The great thing about the Building and Construction Trades Council and unions in general is they're democratic organizations. You know, we debate these things. There's not some czar or some king that makes decisions for the whole body. They're debated, they're discussed, they're voted on, and these endorsements went, you know, just like that. And I don't think any of them were unanimous, but, you know, all the endorsements that we made tilted very heavily towards the way that the endorsement ended up going.
Do you all endorse measures?
We do.
How about Measure A?
Measure A we did not take a position on. You know, we only focus on issues that affect our workers, our members, okay. And Measure A was not something that we felt fell into that category. Measure B.
Unless, of course, they were using it.
Yeah, but, you know,
okay,
again.
I know, I got it. How about Measure F?
Measure F.
That's about the sales tax. That affects your guys.
We took an opposing stance on Measure F. And okay. The reason that we did that was, you know, we support some type of a public safety tax, but we believe that it should be something that's countywide. And we believe that, you know, those funds primarily should go towards constructing a new facility here in Shasta County. You know, Tom Pazinko does a great job with the resources that he has, but we just do not have enough space to keep people locked up in Shasta County.
Well, Rick Bassetti is going to be following you here at 8 o'clock. We're going to be talking F and a few other things, too. Is there a Measure G out there? I've heard Measure G. What is Measure G? I think it was on your endorsement.
We took a supporting position on the Cottonwood Fire Tax, which is to build a new facility down there in Cottonwood.
Oh, okay. So. Okay. Well, that makes sense. We're just down to your final couple weeks here, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me just throw one more thing in there about Patrick Jones. I keep hearing over and over that people have an issue with the fact that he doesn't get along and he shouldn't be reelected because he doesn't get along. To me, if it means getting along means saying yes to everything, that's not a strength. That's a real weakness, and I think diversity on the city council is a strength that should be capitalized on.
Absolutely.
And if he's got solid reasoning, like Andrew said, he does his homework, and if he's voting no after doing all his homework and his solid reasoning, we shouldn't be pointing a finger at him and just saying he doesn't get along because he doesn't rubber stamp things.
As been pointed out before, we had a bunch of 5-0 votes that got us into a $360 million unfunded liability problem.
Correct. Right, so now. I don't buy into this whole thing. We have to get along. I just don't buy into that.
We should have people on there that will represent us and for the best of the city and not just the best of certain groups.
Having done their homework and come in well prepared.
Okay. Where's Revolt going now? We having marches down the road or anything?
We're going to have precinct walks. We are going to begin our campaign in the airwaves. Radio and TV soon, and we're just going to keep pushing hard. We are trying to overcome an organization that has spent $360,000 compared to us spending $13,000. So we
thought y'all had like $84,000.
No, we've raised $53,000. 40 of that went to getting this measure put on the ballot. So we've actually had about $13,000 to actually spend on the campaign.
Okay. Yeah, because I see some of your signs, which are basic. You know,
they get the point.
Yeah, it does. You know, sprayed and it's out there someplace. So you're getting out there. Well, I appreciate you coming in today. And Tom, perhaps I can have you and Randall in here one morning before the election and you two can go back and forth the way you do all the time. I respect Randall Hempeling a lot. I respect you a lot and Andrew. What I'm looking for is what's best for our city. And I'm not, you know, and the fact is I'd love to see a campus down there where Turtle Bay is, just like you do in San Diego, where you've got two or three, four museums. You've got all types of things happening down there. It just will suck people off the freeway to see that kind of thing and just help build on this. And the fact is that you all are never been against the hotel.
Well, and I would say that I agree with everything you just said. The only caveat is that we don't have to sell the land to have all that.
Right. But you've never, you've never been against the hotel.
Correct.
It's the whole thing has been the prevailing wage.
That's right.
If I had $1 million and dropped it on you and said, okay, here's the difference, because you're saying it's like $1.3 million, would that work? I mean, I'm just wondering if somebody came in and said, okay, look, I'll pay the difference here. What is it?
You know, if, if I think if you had the opportunity to cover that prevailing wages, or if you had the opportunity to pay fair market value for the land and cover that difference, I think it would answer the prevailing wage question.
Okay, good. All right. Hey, look, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have Mayor Rick Bassetti. We're going to be talking Measure F and a couple other things. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The parents of an Indiana aid worker who's been threatened with beheading by the Islamic State group say they've told their son's captors they are unable to meet their demands for his release. Ed Kasich, whose son Abdel Rahman is being threatened with death by Islamic State, I read part of a letter his son managed to deliver via a former hostage on NBC's Today Show.
Don't worry, Dad. If I go down, I won't go down thinking anything but what I know to be true, that you and Mom loved me more than the moon.
Paula and Ed Kasich said during their interview that they've been doing all they can to free their son since he was captured in Syria a year ago. Also at SRNnews.com, a Turkish official says there is no new agreement with the United States, as you might have heard, on using an air base in southern Turkey for operations against Islamic State. The official says the two countries are still talking about the base, as well as Turkish demands for the creation of a no-fly zone and safe haven for refugees if they are to help out more in the battle against a group calling itself Islamic State. Several more airports will add Ebola screening procedures over the coming week. Here's SRN's Greg Cluxton.
On Saturday, New York's Kennedy Airport started taking the temperatures of passengers who travel from or through West Africa. In the coming days, that effort will expand to Newark Liberty, Chicago's O'Hare, Washington's Dulles, and Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta airports.
That's SRN's Greg Cluxton reporting. Well, it may be fall technically, but it's already winter in the Colorado mountains with snow falling and about 3 inches on the ground.
We'll start seeing snow up in those higher elevations in August, so it would be more unusual to see it down on the lower plains, but up in the mountains, it's quite normal.
That's forecaster Lisa Kreiderman, who says having snow in the mountains this time of year is actually to be expected. It was snowing in the mountains yesterday afternoon. This is SRN News.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
It's time to earn your MBA at DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. Keller professors share real-world experience so students graduate ready to advance in their careers. Get started with our merit-based Career Catalyst Scholarship with up to $8,000 for new students who qualify. Classes start October 27th. Full details at keller.edu/scholarships. For students who qualify and start by November 2014, subject to approval and availability of funds, DeVry University is authorized for operation by the TATC, certified to operate by SHED. In New York, DeVry University operates as DeVry College of New York.
Authorities say a Taliban ambush in northern Afghanistan has killed 14 local security force troops, BBC's David Loyne reports.
The deputy governor of Paktia province, bordering Pakistan, Abdul Wali Sahi, said that 7 bodies were brought into the provincial capital, Gardez. Mr. Sahi told the BBC that 2 of the dead were children, one only 9 years old. He said that he thought they'd been out collecting wood ahead of the winter when they were hit by bombs dropped by a NATO aircraft. A spokesman for the US-led military coalition confirmed that there had been a precision strike on a target in the area, and he said that 8 enemy had been killed. The issue of NATO airstrikes was the most contentious of the many disputes that the former president Hamid Karzai had with the international community in Kabul.
As the BBC's David Loyne, Ukrainian military officials say that there is some evidence that Russian troops are actually returning to home bases following an order by President Vladimir Putin. This is SRN News. French economist Jean Tirole has won the Nobel Prize for Economics for his research on market power and regulation. Professor Tore Ellingsen of the Nobel Committee explains the significance of the man's work.
The beauty of Tirole's work is that he has been able to describe deep and essential differences between various industries and to show just how regulatory policies ought to respond to those differences.
The 61-year-old works at the Toulouse School of Economics in France, but has a PhD from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It's the first time in many years that an American has not at least shared a portion of that prize. U.S. stocks stabilizing after their worst week in more than 2 years last week. U.S. stocks swung wildly last week and ended lower because of renewed fears about a slowdown in European economies. Right now, it's the Dow down about 60 points. More details at srnnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. It is the 13th of October, Monday. It's 8:05 in the morning. Gosh, what a great day this is going to be. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Bravo, bravo. Tell us what the news is going to be, or the weather.
Bravo! Yeah, sunny high with 88, overnight low of 59. Got clouds moving in tomorrow.
Slow down a little bit, you're older here, so it's kind of. You know.
By Tuesday night, we could be seeing some rain and maybe a quarter of an inch falling, and then Wednesday continued cloudy. So cooler temperatures through the week. It's like the worst of the hot weather has passed. Currently in Reading, we have we've actually dropped back a little bit as the sun comes up. 63 degrees. The report. As always, brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Whether it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Pretty soon, we're going to have to change that back, that their customers are warm friends. Locally owned and operated, senior and veteran discounts. 365-3793. Give them a call. Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wind River and Linda and Romance on the River. If you missed the one earlier this month where Linda and her band played down in the Elements Lounge, you missed a big night. It was a great night. Everybody enjoyed it. A special menu, like I said, Romance on the River, and Wind River stepped it up on this one. And we're having another one the first Thursday in November, and I think that's November 6th. It's a Thursday. Another great night down there, and you can make your reservations by calling 243-3377 and asking for the Elements Lounge and say you want to do Romance on the River on November 6th. You're going to have a great time. Filet mignon last time was for $20. And let me tell you, $20 filet mignon. It was very, very good and cooked perfectly. Absolutely. I mean, and you think Wind River, but absolutely the food was fantastic there. So give them a call. All right. Hey, you know what? We got Terry Raposa on the line, who's going to tell us what's happening with the Tea Party. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. How you doing?
I'm fine, Terry. How are you? How was your weekend?
It was good. We ended up going to a town hall and did a town hall in Nevada County, and we did it in Grass Valley, and we actually packed out their Elks Lodge completely to where there wasn't a chair left in the room, along with having three elected officials there. So it was very interesting.
That's cool. Okay. What's happening?
Tonight at the Tea Party, 2570 Bonneview Road at Destiny Fellowship Church. We're going to be talking about the propositions, and we're also going to have Tom Corrado come in, who you just had on as a guest. We reached out to Revive several times, and they won't send anybody there. So we tried to get both sides to come in and just speak for maybe 10 or 15 minutes each and give an update on what's going on with that proposition, but we could only get one side that wanted to come in.
Okay. Well,
maybe you want to do that because you were on that side. You might want to come in and chat with Tom a little bit.
Oh, with Tom Corrado?
Yeah.
I did.
You know, you might want to.
I just chatted with Tom.
Well, chat in front of the folks because like I said, we were looking for somebody who was on the other side, and they did spend almost $360,000 on trying to get the word out there. You'd think that a free forum for 10 or 15 minutes
stating their side
would be something they'd want to do.
They should, and I don't know why they wouldn't.
Me either. Beats me.
Anyway.
6 o'clock tonight.
There you go.
In Bonnie View Road, 2570 at the Destiny Fellowship Church. Thanks, Carl.
You bet. Thanks, dear. Our guest today, in fact, the last hour we had our, Tom Corrado on along with Andrew Meredith talking about this. And then, and I am for the sale of the land to Turtle Bay because I see there are some things that aren't perfect in it. And I'm going to talk, and we've got Rick Bassetti here. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus a bunch of other things, of course. But, to me, this is based on trust. And as much as I hate to say this, that part of this is because people don't trust certain people in certain spots. They're against this because, oh, they're going to give the land to McConnell Foundation. McConnell Foundation can then build – I'm not sure. I didn't ask the next question, is what would they build down there? And they've spent most of their life or most of the time since I've been here, I've seen all these beautiful things that McConnell Foundation has done. Is what would they do? I mean, what are they going to do that would be absolutely horrible for the residents of Redding? Obviously, Rick, you took that into consideration, right? I mean,
absolutely.
When y'all did this, they already own the other side of the river. I mean, they own the other side of the river.
Absolutely.
I mean, all the way to the river, not where the parking lot is, but I mean to the river.
Right, the old Benton Ranch.
And from what I understand is at one time the city was going to sell that piece of property. Mm-hmm. And somebody's going to put condos there. And Mrs. McConnell said, that's not going to happen. She came back in and rebought it and said, the only thing you're going to put down here is the parks and everything. So, I mean, have they changed dramatically the McConnell Foundation that they would do this?
No. I mean, if you look at their track record in the 25 years that they've been making improvements, they have investment properties. Those are properties that were already built that they came in and purchased, and now they're running them as a business because mm-hmm. they have to generate revenue to keep the philanthropic side of the foundation going. And keep in mind, regardless of who owns that or buys that down there, the zoning is still controlled and requirements are still controlled by the city and the city planning department mm-hmm. and the planning commission. So you're not going to go in and just stick a strip mall in there or something like that. And you wouldn't do that. Look at the visions that we've had already. You know, people criticize the bridge still. You know,
they still do.
They still criticize it, saying the city spent all the money. When that misconception, the city never put a penny more than they pledged at the very beginning. And McConnell came in and made up the difference. Originally, I think the city had proposed or had committed $2.3 million. That's all that was ever spent by the city on the bridge. Even though the cost grew and grew and grew, McConnell made up the difference on it. Has that been a good investment for the city? Absolutely. Do people like to go down to that area? Absolutely. Look at the area since Advanced Reading has taken over the Civic. I mean, that whole area is alive again.
That was a very much of – you know what? Saturday night we went down to the Think Pink mm-hmm. Cowboy Up
yeah.
down there at the Rodeo Arena. Had a great time, by the way, and I got outbid on everything, which tells you something, except the silent auction where I won. Linda got pink earmuffs and pink glasses for shooting and all that stuff. But as I was leaving, the parking lot to the Civic Auditorium was packed.
Right.
Now, that could be because they might have had a Bethel thing going, but still – they saved, I think it's the swing is like $2 million, isn't it?
Just about $1.8 million swing to the good.
To the good.
Versus losing $1.4 million.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that area is going to develop. Patty and I just came back from Chicago a month ago. Our daughter got married, and we went down to the lakeside there, and we saw their museum complex. And you keep hearing talks about the museum complex. And that's what will happen. It won't be on the same scale. And this is nothing more than like everything else at our state level. It's controlled between the unions and the people in power now, and it's about power. They don't want to give up any of it. This is a huge precedence. You know, at one point in time, this was all going to go away for $500,000. For 6 weeks, the negotiations between the city and the Turtle Bay people were held up because there was a deal, and the deal was going to be $500,000 was going to go to the local unions. The local unions assured the people with McConnell and with Turtle Bay that for $500,000 this all go away. And so we stopped negotiations cold for 6 weeks. And we didn't know what was going on at the city side. So we finally asked, and one of the negotiators for McConnell said, well, this is what's happening. I said, well, then let's make it happen now. Let's call an immediate meeting And I hear 2 days later, oh no, it's the deal's off. There was it didn't it wasn't going to happen. So,
I asked him if I could write you. You know what? I really wish I'd win one of those huge lotteries, because I'd fix a lot of things around here. I mean, if I won a $340 million lottery, first of all, this would be a non-issue.
Yeah,
I would just say, just make up your deal. I'll pay the difference.
But Carl, it should be a non-issue.
What
are you going to do for your community? It's about our community. This is about this whole union thing is about a precedent being set at the state level, and if this happens here, it could happen anywhere else in the state. And it's like our Measure A and B that went through. We had 10 different cities contact us and took our wording from that and implemented it in their own elections. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want that to happen. That's what it's about.
Okay, we got to take a quick break. My guest, Mayor Rick Bassetti, you're finishing up your last couple months here.
Yeah, it's
mayor.
It's different. Yeah, it is different, but looking forward to the future.
Well, that's the way we have to be, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't keep looking behind you.
No.
Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR, 1460.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand, living on island time. It's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows, if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
Proof that kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:18 in the morning, 63 degrees out there getting up. It's going to be starting to get cooler. We think we've broken the heat wave here, which is why you need to give Alliance Heating and Air a call. Oh, you think, well, it's cooling off now. Yes, but now it's going to start getting cold. And is your heating system ready to go, just like we told you about your cooling system? Are those filters clean? Are your air ducts good? All of these things that Alliance Heating and Air can do. Plus, what if you have one that doesn't work? Well, I tell you what,
any make or model of heating and cooling systems they can handle. They offer warranties and guarantees if it's an emergency, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day service. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Alliance Heating and Air, that's who we use. And we've had nothing but great, great service from Alliance Heating and Air. Our guest, Mayor Rick Bassetti, and we talked a little bit about Measure B and the things going on there. But the one that's near and dear to your heart.
Measure F.
Measure F.
Yeah.
You know, we
And Carl, I want this to go first out on KCNR.
Okay.
All right. It is not a public safety measure. Oh. I know that the paper calls it a public safety measure.
Yeah.
The newspapers, I mean, the television is referred to it as a public safety. It is a get them out of town measure.
Get them out of town.
It is a get them out of town. And
who's M?
M is the felons that we are not able to lock up right now. Okay. And what this money will provide us for is a revenue stream that we do not have at the city, contrary to what some of our candidates are out there telling you, that we have all this extra money laying around the city. We don't. But this money will allow us now to contract with Sheriff Pacinco. The city will contract. Chief Paletti will contract with Sheriff Pacinco to purchase out-of-county beds in other counties. There's 58 counties in the state of California. There are more beds available than we have money to purchase. And then we transport these people, and they'll do their time maybe in Lassen County, maybe in Modoc County, maybe in Merced County.
Maybe San Diego County.
Maybe San Diego County.
Who cares?
Alameda. I don't care. But
these are ones that have already been sentenced.
Convicted.
They don't have to have access to a lawyer right here, like if somebody just arrested. So you can move them anywhere in this state.
It's time for them to go do their time. And so we can do that with this money.
Okay, now how many people are we talking about here, Rick?
I think Tom told me initially that he believes somewhere between 50 to 75
Okay. Can
get out of town immediately.
Let's go the high number. Okay, that's 75 open beds.
Now we can fill those back again with some of our worst people that we have and keep them here.
Right.
That's 150 net. Okay?
Okay.
75 go away, 75 go into their empty beds.
But the 75 go away are already off the streets.
Yeah, they're off the streets and they're gone.
And we need to get the ones, the bad guys on the streets off. Okay,
and
so we put 75 in there. And I'm using high numbers here because that's okay.
Yeah.
We can do that. Okay, so it works. 75, we take 75 of the worst guys off.
Right.
And girls.
That's in the first blush.
Okay.
You know, we've got this measure. I want to clarify some of the salient points on this measure so everyone understands clearly. This money never hits the general fund of the city of Reading. Any money generated by this special tax stays in a Board of Equalization account in Sacramento. How it gets spent is the chief of police makes a requisition. Okay, I've also recommended that the new council appoint a three-person oversight committee. They'll look at the request from the chief. They make a recommendation to the city council. The city council then decides, yes, we're going to do that. They request the money, and then that's how the money is spent. If the chief says, I want to... And what my recommendation in the first year was 25% to bring on some community service officers and a couple more sworn officers. 75%, $3.75 million, get them out of town. Just spend as much
as
we
first
can.
Year.
First year, get them out of town.
And if sales go up the next year, that's more money.
It's more money.
Okay, so to get them out of town, okay, but say it's 75 and it costs cost $1 million for these for 75 guys.
Oh, it's going to be more than that. It's $100. Well, let's use the high number. Sheriff Basinko told me, depending what county,
because some of them are only like $50.
Some, and he said highs to $100 a day.
Right, $50 to $100.
Let's use and you're going to have some transportation costs getting them there right. And back.
So let's just use $100 a day.
So we use $100 a day. That's 37,000 incarceration days for $3.7 million. 37,000 incarceration days. That would be 100 people, say, for a full year. And that isn't going to happen. You're going to have someone go and do 4 months over here, and then they're done.
Yeah.
They're going to do 3 months, and then they're done.
You're just getting them out
but
there.
But the message that you're sending, and this is what Sheriff Pacinco told me, is that when those first 50 go out of the county, it's going to send a ripple through the community, the criminal community, that if you do the crime here, you are going to do the time now. And it will change attitudes. We saw the numbers last year from Chief Paletti. 65% of our crimes were committed by 1,100 people last year out of 7,000 arrests.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And some have been arrested
over and over and over and over.
15 times.
We take the worst of those, the most egregious of those, and those are the ones that we send out first, mm-hmm. and we also keep in our own jail.
Okay. So we use the $3.6 million to ship people out. All right.
Then the other $2 million goes to Chief Paletti, who already has a he's already shown his plan to me.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's shown his plan to everybody. It wasn't just me, but
right.
So this whole object of this Measure F is get them out of town.
Get them out of town.
And the M is the bad guys. And so the ones that are already convicted, we ship them someplace else, bring the next group in. Can any of this money be used to say, because Tom is also looking for a way to incarcerate about 200 people.
Let's say that you had a private organization that set up something here in Shasta County.
Yeah.
Okay. There wouldn't be anything stopping it. We're looking for another source to outsource these people to and get them out of
and
here.
And so that part of that money then could go to that then,
absolutely.
Right?
I don't see any reason why it couldn't.
Even if it's not out of county.
Even if it's not out of county. We're just wanting to keep these people in jail.
Right.
Okay.
And that's
right
what
now,
Tom is
right
on,
now, right? Our yeah. only option is to send them to another county.
Right.
We all heard what happened last week. The state came down to Tom and said, your budget's been cut. Not only is they cut his AB 109 budget. He used to get $4,500 a guy per year. Now, this is the same guy that the state was spending $60,000 a year on, right?
Yeah.
And they've reduced that now. Not only that, they came in and said, and by the way, if you happen to send more people back to prison above this limit, we're going to penalize you more money.
You know, people need to understand what the state has done. First of all, the state has gotten rid of their problems by foisting it on the counties. All the counties throughout.
Over $2 billion worth.
Right. And then they said, but don't worry, we're going to give you the money to take care of this. Well, and anybody with a brain knew what was going to happen.
Right.
You just knew it was going to happen.
Right.
Well, it took them 3 years. But now they've said, oh, by the way, we're going to cut this back. And now, and plus, if you send us too many, we're going to cut it back more. There's another part to this, too, I know that you know
about.
But
some states got raises. I mean, some counties got raises.
Because?
Maybe more influence at the state level with their legislators. They're in power. And for whatever reason.
And then the worst, and then the finally the anchor on this whole thing, as Chief Paletti told us, they changed the definition of recidivism.
Right.
So that recidivism means you've had to been arrested, go to court, and been found guilty of a different crime completely.
Right. Right.
Instead of just being arrested, which is what it should be in for different crimes, now you've got to be – which will immediately drop the recidivism rate probably by 30% at least because you can't – once you arrest him, you can't get him to court.
Right.
We've got one guy, he's arrested 15 times.
Right.
And every time they catch him, they bring him back because it's not serious enough.
Right.
He gets kicked loose, and he never shows up. I think this guy we ought to keep next time.
Yeah, and if we have the money in there to do it. Now, here's the last thing that I've done. I've made a recommendation I put it in a plan to one of our sponsors,
mm-hmm.
one of our endorsers, mm-hmm. is the Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
And I explained to him the 25 and the 75. And I said, also, my recommendation would be is that the new city council, they're sworn in on December 2nd. On December 3rd, they have a meeting. And here's the proper use for our reserves, the cash that we do have. Borrow against the tax revenue, should it pass, $5 million today and implement the first year immediately. And you've got people leaving town 2 weeks after this thing passes. Sheriff can start calling his other sheriff buddies saying, I need this many beds, I need that many beds. And Chief Paletti can be requesting, we have the money right there. But now knowing that that money's coming back because we'll be generating it with the sales tax revenue, that gets paid back, and you have immediate impact on the crime in Reading immediately. I don't know how these people are out there arguing against this. I really don't. We don't have the money. You know, one of my council members is saying, well, we can cut 5% out of a budget. We can do this out of these different – one of the candidates is saying that. 70% of the general fund budget – are fire and police. So you go tell the firemen that we're going to take 7.5-8% out of their budget, which might be $1.5-2 million, and give it to the police. That's not going to happen. If you go to the clerk's office, and if I take one or two of those people away, we will be bare minimum being able to keep up with our legal obligations for public notice. And what's that going to gain you? Two people out there might be $40,000-$50,000 a year. And so it isn't there. They can talk all they want about it. You know, your union guys were saying that we need people with accounting background because these people there don't understand accounting. Listen, I had a company for 25 years, 23 years. I understand accounting. I know where the money is. I know where it is right now. And so I can tell you right now without – never lied to any of these people before. We don't have the money in the general fund at all anywhere. If you just want to go in and fire 150 people – and take your roll of the dice with that. Go try to do that. But what kind of services are you going to have left? It isn't going to work. This is a good, solid thing. If someone were to have, if you could spend $100 a year, and how much would that be at a 0.25%? Maybe $10,000 even? No, that would even be 1%. You know, you're talking $25 for most people, average, to have this happen. To get these people not standing on the street corners, not in front of every grocery store, not accosting people everywhere, get them out of town. And that's what this measure is all about. And so I don't see any people standing on the street corners saying, we love our AB-109ers. You know, crime is good, no on F, right? Although maybe that might get the message across. And so how do you know, if you've got a source for the money, come up and say, here's the money right here. This is where it's at. Don't say it's there and just be vague about it. Say, here it is. Do the homework if that's what it is. We've done the homework. It's not there. Measure F. If it doesn't pass, and there's a good chance. 66 is a hard bar to get.
Because for everyone that votes against it, it takes out two other votes for it.
Exactly.
Yep.
But the reality is I did that intentionally, so that the money doesn't commingle with our general fund.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Mayor Rick Bassetti is with us. I'm going to ask him questions about this that people have been asking, and I'm going to let you address this.
Sure.
About taking it out of the back end and all those things.
Right.
We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. 65 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day today. 8:31 in the morning here Monday, October the 13th.
Hi, my name's Brent Weaver. I promise to fight to keep our neighborhood safe and strong. Vote for me, Brent Weaver. Together we will take back our city, streets, parks, and neighborhoods.
Paid for by Weaver for City Council 2014.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
Hi, my name's Brent Weaver. Reading needs a strategic plan to fight crime. We need new ideas, positive energy, and a fresh perspective at City Hall. Vote for me, Brent Weaver, on November 4th.
Paid for by Weaver for City Council 2014.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PBA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, she drives me crazy. 605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. It's 8:33 in the morning, 65 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue.
Great haircuts, great prices, discounts for seniors and veterans, and, of course, it's Man's Last Stronghold. Go on down there, get your haircut, talk to everybody. It's the Cheers of the Barbershops, Cypress Square Barbershop. Our guest today is Mayor Rick Bassetti. If you have a question for the mayor about Measure F, because it's, you know, there's a lot of people got a lot of questions about this. I'm going to try and run through as many of the questions and let Rick address these. Give us a call at 605-4567. There's only so much time left in his tenure here before he says sayonara, puts on the Colt 45 hat and rebuilds all South Park down there.
And looking forward to it.
I know. I don't blame you. Hey, Rick, people say, okay, we get $5 million in this end.
Yeah.
We can't touch it. We know that $5 million is going to go to the police and all that. So let's just take $5 million out of the general, fund.
Can't happen. This is not to supplant. It's to supplement. And it's just basically, if you read the measure itself, the three areas that it can be spent on are only on out-of-county incarceration or incarceration, work release program, and additional personnel to support those. And so if you have your three-person commission sitting there, and ultimately it goes beyond them. It goes to the sitting city council. The chief could say, I'm going to backload because I'm short on my budget. I want $2.5 million this year to hire cops. City council can say, no, that's not what it was intended for. They have the ultimate say so over this. And quite honestly, they can end this measure. And it's written in the measure. They can end it with a vote. They can stop
a 3-2 vote.
Yeah.
Okay, but say the chief says, okay, I'd like to have $2.5 million to I want 4 CSOs and I want 5 more officers. God knows we need officers out there.
Right.
I mean, we really do need officers out there. And so, so here's the money for that. And you said you'd take it out of the emergency fund because that's going to be
– This is going to be a special tax revenue fund that the Board of Equalization manages.
No, I know that. But, okay. But you said you're going to loan it. If you, at the beginning.
The first year, yeah.
The first year, until you can get the money back.
You get the money back, and then you get it start rolling.
Okay. Is this going to be used for, like, raises and all that?
Because
that's another question. Well, they're just going to use this to give themselves more money.
It can't go to any of the existing officers that are there.
Okay.
It's written in the plan. It can't go to any of the existing officers that are there. It can only be to bring on some new people come under the new California PERPA Act, which means they have the lower pension benefits. And so and they'll be paid out of this money. That'll be paid out of it. And so it isn't – they can't –
It's not for existing
it's
officers.
Not for existing
it's
officers.
Not to give raises. It's not to do anything.
No.
Well, so a lot of people didn't understand that. They thought this money could be used for anything in the police department.
Right. And we tried to explain that several times from the dais. And even some of the people who have endorsed – didn't understand that when I went and met with them. And then once it was explained to them, no, this is very – that's why it's a 66% too, Carl. Had this been a 50% like they did down in Anderson, half of theirs is going into the general fund. It isn't going to go to police and fire.
Yeah.
It's going into the general fund. So this is going to have a higher bar, but it's going to have a much more dramatic impact on us being able to get the people who were causing the crime in Reading and getting them out of town.
I don't want to, I don't want to bring this up as a negative, but as you said, this bar is high.
Yeah, it is hard. It's real hard.
What if it doesn't pass?
If it doesn't pass, we got 2 years of accelerated crime. Look where we are right now. And on the ballot at the same time is Measure 47.
Can you believe they actually put, somebody's actually put this on the ballot?
Exactly. And if it passes, you're talking about another 10,000 people being released out of prison. We'll get our share of them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because we put our share
but
in.
But it also changes all the sentencing guidelines. And so people who were felons are no more felons. Now they're misdemeanors. And so before, where they couldn't own a gun, now they can own guns because they're not really dangerous. One of the provisions in there, Carl, and the chief spoke to this at our last meeting, it doesn't matter under this Measure 47. If you're busted with 10 pounds of meth, that's not recreational use, I would think. You're treated the same as someone with recreational use. It's not a felony.
It'll be treated as a misdemeanor.
And people who have had sex crime convictions.
Absolutely.
Even though that you go, oh, well, it's not supposed to be. Well, the way they define it now has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be – it's unbelievable what they're going to do with this 47. Every law enforcement agency in California, all the DAs, everybody is against this.
Right.
And yet it somehow still got on there, and it still could – I mean, it could pass.
It could pass.
And if it passes, now we're talking about another – you know, and these are hardcore. These aren't the ones that are just, okay, oh, yeah, okay, they had an ounce of marijuana back
right.
in the old days.
Right.
Not that I'm not sure how many of those went in. But, okay, these are guys that trafficked. These are ones that are felony guys that have come home now, and all they know is prison life.
Right. And they're not held accountable for any of those actions past. And so – If it doesn't pass, Carl, if this doesn't pass, we've got 2 years, I think, of hell, and it's going to just get worse. And I'm not trying to do that to scare people or anything like that. That's the reality of it. If you think what we have right now is bad, and 47 also passes and this fails, it's just going to be ugly. And I don't envy our police at all, because they're doing a great job catching people right now. As short as we are, they're working so hard. And that this will give them at least the relief of having some CSOs to do some of their paperwork for them. And then now they know it's frustrating for them, too, to catch someone,
well,
take them in, and then they're back on the street before these guys are done with their paperwork.
We have a question here from the chat room.
Sure.
The debt owed to the city by Big League Dreams and Soccer Park.
Nothing to do with this.
Would pay for the Measure F.
Has nothing to do with this.
And the last part of it was response.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with this.
It has nothing to do with this.
That doesn't even come on the table. Next.
And it doesn't, because it has nothing to do with the measure.
You know, the debt service on that was a part of a development plan, and you had a contract over here. Has nothing to do with our – that money isn't going to make us whole in where we are right now. This is what we have.
But that's already in a contract, too. They have to pay this much.
They have to pay so much. Okay. And the reality is, if the business isn't there, you're not going to get it.
Right.
And the business hasn't been there.
Okay.
Now, there's lots of reasons, and you can spend 4 hours arguing about it. But that has nothing to do with this measure right now. And I don't want to obfuscate anything by getting off on tangents like that. Here's where the general fund is right now. We know what the money is that we have. We're making it work. We're one of the few cities in California with a balanced budget with a reserve. Would you like to be in Chico right now and be $7 million upside down, as opposed to us having $7 or $8 million in cash sitting in the bank? We just hired one of their police officers. They got a lot more coming down the road. They're going to be cutting police and fire down there. They have to. There's nothing left. And I don't want to be there. I don't want to see this city there. And this measure passes. It's going to – do you want criminals on the street, or do you want them in a jail someplace? That's the question.
He has explained Measure F well, and I am happy you had him on this morning, as that is the one I was not decided on.
Oh, well, thank you. I think when most of the people understand
– That was this, from one of the chat room people.
When you understand, this is not to supplement someone's budget. This is money that is directly focused to mitigating the issues that we've had since 109 has come into existence. 109, when they started turning those guys, when they first started up, first months, we were getting 35 guys a month, right? Now we're down to maybe 14, but they're still coming here, and our guys catch them. And
our guys are worn out.
They're catching them. They're catching the same guys. They're doing the same paperwork every day, and it's frustrating for them. And we need to send the criminal community a message. And we'll be the first city to do this, Carl. Again, we'll be the first city like we were with A and B. If this community passes this, we'll be the first city to do something like this in the state of California.
Can any of this money be used to address the illegal camps we have around here?
Only in the sense from this perspective. There's the work release program. Yes.
Uh-huh. Right.
So when we have the work release program, and that was my recommendation, the first year was to focus on getting these guys, get the worst of the worst out of here.
Right.
The second year, we contract with Sheriff Pacinco, okay, start putting the GPS anklets on them, the guys now that want to work instead of being shipped out of the county,
right?
And we'll start cleaning up all of our gullies. We'll start cleaning up all of the creeks. And so now you'll have 40, 50, 60 of these people, and that's what the CSOs will help with as well, is you'll have people driving the vans out there monitoring them, and they'll be cleaning up a lot of the areas where the camps are.
Well, one of the things that the chief said, and I know you're up on this too, is that if he had enough people to go out there, because he's only got one guy to go out there and go from camp to camp to camp.
Right.
what I envision, if you put five police out there for like a month and hit all the camps at one time and kept pushing them, these illegal camps would have no place to go to.
Right. And it doesn't have to be guys with guns either. It can be CSOs that are doing this. Here's the other side of that, though, Carl. When people know, I'd rather have a gun.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that. Okay.
But here's the
I'm
other
not
side
sure
of that.
I would like to do that, but okay.
If they're camping on public property.
Yes.
If they're public, if it's city land, our hands are tied again because this is the state of California.
Right.
A lot of people running for office don't understand the limitations of being in the state of California, but it's the state of California.
No, and I think people do understand it now.
Private property owners, if you've got them on your property, please call into the city because you have the right. I know someone a week, 10 days ago, went out with their own front end loader,
yeah,
hooked up, pulled an old beat up camper off of his property, pulled the trailer off the property, dug a hole and buried a bunch of stuff.
And you can do that.
You
on
can
your
do
own
that
property.
On your own private property because they're trespassing.
As soon as you ask the city to step in,
right,
you fall under the state.
If it's on city property, we have to notify them. We have to grab their stuff. It has to hold it in storage.
Okay. Hey, we've got people on the line. Jan, please wait. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You'll be the first in line. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460, 8:45 in the morning. Mayor Rick Bassetti is our guest.
Nancy Sullivan, Vice Mayor of the City of Reading. I have deep roots in this area. I was born and raised in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, but I've had family here since before Lassen erupted. My husband is retired and we could live anywhere. We choose to live in Reading. We love living in a friendly, generous town. We're grateful for the parks and trails that help keep us healthy, and we're grateful to live in a community that knows how to come together to solve problems. Together, we'll make Reading a safer town. I want to invite you, the public, to become part of the process, made up of all of you, the City Council, and city employees, to make Reading thrive and be the best place to live, work, and raise a family. With safe neighborhoods and quality jobs, I'm Francie Sullivan. I'd appreciate your vote on November 4th for the Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl Lindebach. Linda's on assignment today. Somebody has got to make sure that we actually have a life outside the station here. Thank God for Linda. You know, thank God for Linda. Okay.
We're here with
Jan.
Yeah, we're here with Mayor Rick Bassetti. We're going to go to Jan right now. Jan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for waiting. I'm sorry.
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
My first question is, will the state of California Board of Equalization charge to manage this tax revenue?
No. It's their duty to manage this as a special tax, Jan.
Okay.
So there's no handling, no handling fee.
That's a good question.
It is. That is a good question.
That was a good question, Jan.
Pardon me?
That was a good question. What if they charge us $200,000 or something like that?
Yeah, they create the problem, and then we solve the problem, but they collect money. But Rick says no, so that's fine. That's great. My next question is, sounds to me like you've made a case to separate from California, since California is causing some of these problems. Correct, with the laws coming out of Sacramento and the legislation?
The case that I'm making is, in this case, Jan, is that we need to take care of ourselves here at the city of Reading.
Wouldn't a separate state be taking care of that?
Well, I don't have the control over, you know, 14 counties and all the different legislatures and that sort of thing. The plan to put that together would be immense. We've got people on the streets right now harming people, bothering people, stealing our properties, and this right here is the case for getting them out of town and getting them out of town now. We are in California, Jan. I give you that, and I'll be the first to admit that the legislation that comes out of Sacramento, we've had no input from our area in Northern California of real import for probably
decades.
I mean, we really haven't. If we had had input, if we did have effective people or whatever down there, we wouldn't have all the environmental restraints that we have in logging. It looks like that the suction dredge mining is going to, in the creeks, is going to come back. They just had a favorable ruling in court on that. So, you know, when California in 64 sued and won and got representation by population, not by county, that's when we lost any of our capability to have any leverage. But I hope that you're in favor of it, Jan. I hope you talk to your friends to be in favor of it. These are for people who live within the city of Reading to pass this, and I really hope that we can start getting some of these people off the street.
Hey, Jan, thanks a lot. Is the time come for 51, Jan?
Yes, it has.
Okay, Jan, thanks a lot for the phone call. Okay, yeah. You know what? People know we're in serious problems right now. We have transient problems, and if you've noticed, I've gone away from the homeless.
Right.
I don't like to use the homeless label because there's so many of our homeless that you know, they are seeking help and we can help.
And they're legitimately.
And they're
homeless.
Legitimately. But if I go into the transients with these illegal camps that have got a subculture out there,
right.
And I've seen it, and I've talked to people who've got these on their property and they're trying to get it off, it's very scary. That's why I wanted to see if part of this money could be used just to move them. And because once you start moving them, they're going to leave because it's not comfortable anymore.
Exactly. And I think, well, you know, my recommendation was only a recommendation on that 25-75 split. The city council is going to decide how they want to spend it. And if the chief comes in and makes a case where he needs four more officers packing guns, and for the first 6 months they're going to be out in every camp every day, that's fine. Then that's a decision that they make on it. Yep. And it could be utilized in that manner.
It's however they, you know, and how the know
chief
he's got
and
a
the
plan.
Council, they right. want to put the plan
and
together.
He's putting a plan. Okay, when it comes right back down then to the city council and the people getting out, you know, somebody also commented in the chat room that 47 cannot possibly pass. The answer to that was from somebody else that says, in this state, nothing is certain when it comes to ballot items.
Absolutely.
This is incredible that one that's even on the ballot.
Right.
And I wonder who did that, how they even got it on there. But the other thing, too, is that another severe impact on us. So
did you hear the
passes,
explanation the other night at our city council meeting? Mr. Bennett, who's the representative for the ACLU in Northern California, came, and he's talking about, because in their ballot they talk about millions of dollars going to recidivism reduction, millions of dollars going into our schools to help these kids and stuff who go into the criminal life. And I'm sitting there going, you know, that was all part of AB 109. How's that been working for us for the last 3 years?
I need to get Doug on then.
Yeah.
We need to have good Doug.
He's the guy who was in favor of Proposition 47.
Doug heads up the ACLU for Northern California.
And they have a huge impact in Sacramento and San Francisco and Los Angeles. And don't think that the people down there won't listen to that and go, you know, that's a good thing to do. We should provide
more education.
It goes for education. We ought to pass this.
I also thought that our lottery. Yeah, do
use
education.
The kids.
How's that working for us?
How's that working for us?
Yeah, okay.
Talk to the superintendents.
So what we've done today is Mayor Rick Bassetti has come on and has made a very eloquent argument that Measure F should be passed, this 0.25% on sales tax here, that if you spend $10,000 a year.
0.025.
But if you spend $10,000 a year, it comes
out
about
to 25 bucks.
25 bucks.
You buy a $30,000 car, it's going to add 100 bucks or 150 bucks to your car.
And the people that have, are coming back and saying, wait a minute, the people that live outside Reading don't like it because they shop in Reading, but then they don't vote.
They don't vote on it.
And my concern has been, and you've addressed it here today, was yes, we can move 65 out, but we need to take like 100 or 200 off the streets immediately. If part of that money could be used to, if Tom comes up with a plan to say I've got a place, or a private concern comes in here and builds a spot for 200 temporary facility for 200 people, that money could be used for that.
I don't see any reason why it couldn't be, as long as it was cost effective for them.
You're
not going to pay a whole lot more than if you can save on the transportation costs and things like that. But
I'm talking about for temporary holding for the ones they've arrested.
The reason we've been talking about this. The Chamber of Commerce has endorsed this. The Shasta County Board of Realtors have endorsed this. And when I talk to any of the other groups, they go, yeah, this is great. We need to have it. We're going to pass it. We're going to let all of our members know that we're in favor of this. There are people running away from it saying it's a tax measure and blah, blah, blah. If there were any other options to generate an ongoing, and that's key, ongoing revenue stream, okay, then show it to me. Prove it. But there isn't. We've been through our budget. We've been through everything that we can possibly. This is the measure. It's been knocked down to 0.25%, 0.25%, right? And
the whole council voted on this.
And it was unanimous.
To let the people vote on it.
And so I hope that the people do go out and vote. I hope they put in the time and do the research and read the arguments for and against. It was ironic that one of the arguments against and rebuttal was written by your two prior people from the unions that were on here, and I'm going, what do they got to do with this?
Well, they don't like it.
They want us to build more jails, but if you understand what the business of cities do, cities don't build jails. That's state. State and counties build jails.
Right.
Cities don't build jails.
Boy, wouldn't it be nice if we could.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
You know, it's too bad we can't just like
keep
a prisoner. You know, let everybody adopt a prisoner, and you put them into a room with – okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, I've got 4 minutes left. One of the questions that was brought up and I haven't addressed is people see raises being given to city employees at the same time we're asking for more money.
The raises that were given were in our enterprise fund for the Reading Electric Utility. And people need to understand that's a business section of its own. It sits out separate for the most part from our general fund. It operates a $165 million a year business. And when you look at the quality of the people that we have on our electric utility, they are at the highest in the state. We have people who are being recruited very often, if not monthly, I would say, by other utilities to get them away, to move away. One of the things that helps is that we are here. It's a nicer area to raise your family. But so those raises went to help them. If you're in a business, and if you're speaking to business owners out there, and your total overhead for labor in your business was less than 18%, you got a great business working. Now, that's where we are with REU on a $165 million budget. And so when I voted in favor of giving a raise to some of these people, and quite honestly, even with those raises, we're not able to fill the spots. Because most of the raises that we gave were to positions to try to recruit people in, and we're still not being able to get people in. It's we're on linemen, Carl, and linemen work.
Why can't we do that? Because we pay well here. I mean,
yeah, but look
for
at
this
line,
area,
look
we,
at
pay, journey, we pay extravagantly well.
A journeyman lineman with PG&E is going to be at $117,000 a year plus benefits. Ours guys start at $92,000. So that's $20,000.
Well, I was thinking more of the management side.
Well, but we have some of those lost too, but we've got like 8 open position alignment. What happens when the power lines go down in a storm?
Well, the linemen, yeah, I understand. No, the guys on the grunts. No, I understand that. I'm talking about the raises I saw were like a $20,000 a year raise to Barry Tippin.
When you're talking about someone who's running, running a $165 million business, I don't have a problem with that. And he's still underpaid compared to any other people who are running much smaller utilities.
Okay.
When we lost our utility director to Trinity County, he went up and got a 30% raise with one-third the responsibility.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of times you'd like
to think
it's not
just money. I
mean, I do
remember that. Nice guy, too.
Yeah, real nice guy. Paul's a good guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're sitting there, someone waives 30% increase in salary over and one-third responsibility. I'd go. So that's, you know, I don't want to get too far off measure. I want to leave with Measure F.
Measure F is something, it's two-thirds vote.
We have to do two-thirds vote. The city council, if the people don't like it, you can get rid of it.
You can see no reason not to vote for this.
I can see no reason why not to vote for this. I mean, this is a check the box, yes. Do you want criminals on the streets? Do you want more criminals on the streets in front of Safeway? Do you want more criminals on the streets everywhere?
Get them out of town.
Get them out of town measure, not the public safety measure.
Thanks a lot, Rick. I appreciate it. Mayor Rick Bassetti. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
But I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A top federal health official says authorities should consider requiring Ebola patients to be sent only to specialized containment hospitals. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who heads the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, also says that while there has been limited use of experimental drugs to treat some patients with Ebola, those treatments still remain experimental.
Whether or not this is going to happen in the hospital with the nurse in Dallas now, I'm not sure. It's likely that they will at least investigate or probe the possibility of getting an experimental drug.
It now appears that a breach of protocol led to the infection of that nurse at a Dallas hospital where an Ebola victim was treated before his death. An investigation is underway. Also at SRNnews.com, nurses in the West African country of Liberia, which has been hard hit by Ebola, have been urged to strike today to demand for higher hazard pay.